From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad to have Brian Visitation who's with us, the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento.
Good to be here, Bob.
Is this a visitation hour?
This is a visitation hour.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, good to have you. Tell us about your job. I mean, have you visited all 20 counties of this diocese?
I have not visited all 20 counties, unfortunately, not even all 102 parishes in that. It's a ministry of presence within the office of sorts. So, I mean, in many ways, you know, the messages that we're able to get out via the internet are able to go to all 20 counties, sure. Yeah, you know, but right. I myself have not been able to go to all 20 counties.
You have background in communications?
Oh, yeah. I used to be with the Diocese of San Jose in their communications office as well. I started as a volunteer and then kind of found my way into professional Catholicism, as they call it, being a professional Catholic,
right.
You know, working in the communications office in San Jose and then spent the last 5 years here.
So did you grow up in San Jose?
Yep.
San Jose State guy?
No, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very popular campus. I've had a couple of kids apply there. and it's a tough one to get into.
Yeah. I didn't realize how impacted my program was. I guess we were number one in the nation. So I didn't know that when I applied. I was like, oh, wow. Well, I guess I actually couldn't consider myself lucky to be here.
Oh, yeah. So did you major in communications?
Graphic communication.
Okay.
So a little bit more of the design production side. Obviously elements of communication seep into that as well. How do you communicate your message effectively, simply on a design, on flyer, website, those kind of things.
I went to UC Davis, and it's amazing in almost every sport, Cal Poly and Davis didn't like each other. And I think it's because both campuses had horses or something.
Yeah.
They both thought they were the ag campus.
Right. You know, the battle of the agriculture.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Davis is actually the Aggies there.
Yeah. Right? They call it when they play the game, they call it the Battle of the Golden Horseshoe. Right. I remember writing about, as a sports writer, writing that I guarantee the Mustangs will win this game because they're both Mustangs.
Of sorts, yeah.
Ultimate, you know. And it's a good rivalry.
Yeah.
What a beautiful area to go to school in.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about hills everywhere and green everywhere. And
the ocean only rains like twice a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ocean
wonderful.
Just, 10 miles away?
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful spot. So then you came back to San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And did you start working for the diocese right out of college?
No, I was working at a small marketing firm. Our clientele was mostly nonprofit, so I did some work with the church at that point. Spent a couple of years in tech, and while I was in tech, I was volunteering with the diocesan ministries. And so eventually the Lord called me out of tech and into diocesan work.
Cradle Catholic?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's... It's interesting. I'm a cradle Catholic too, but my mom was a convert, and boy, just what a difference in how she viewed the faith and I viewed the faith. She picked it as an adult, you know, and it's just like wow. She, you know, they're an inspiration.
Oh yeah. You know? Don't get me wrong. I mean, I
every day. I do too. But boy, I'll tell you, it was when you're a kid and you're sort of being
picked for you.
Yeah. Being dragged to mass, and mom's like, "You guys don't understand. You know, you were born into this, and so was your dad. But this is something I chose.
Right.
You know, she was in nursing school in North Dakota at a Catholic nursing school, and she said the nuns, they had something I wanted. That's Saint Alexis. I don't even know who Saint Alexis is. I should look that up. And I don't even know if it's a man or a woman.
Right.
I say a few prayers to St. Alexis.
I mean, we should all strive to live that way too, right? That people see something in us that makes them want that. Like, oh, what is it that's so different about you?
Yeah. I remember going to public school and probably three or four Catholics in the whole public school. And my dad saying, those kids are watching you. Mm-hmm. They know you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday. Mm. This was pre-Vatican II,
right.
You know, and they're watching you to see if you screw up, you know, and it was, and he was right.
Yeah.
You know, they're eating hot dogs at the football game on Friday night, and we're not.
I'm here with my fish sticks and French fries, maybe.
That's right, my tuna sandwich that I brought from home.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Mrs. Paul and I, we were good friends, the fish sticks. Yeah. So communications, I mean, it's huge. And I mean, you don't need to tell anybody about the Catholic Church, but you do. Mm-hmm. I have, not debates, but you run into people and they know you're Catholic and they know you're, maybe they know you're on the radio, and there are times in town. I grew up in Davis, so I've been there since it was a small town, and people will stop me on the street and say, I like your Pope, or I didn't like what your Pope did, or,
right,
back and forth. And some people say, I'm a Catholic this and that, and they're kind of derogatory or negative. And I say, well, let's just imagine the Catholic Church in Northern California just never existed. It just never happened. Do you realize how many holes there'd be in the safety net? Do you realize how many things?
Think of our Catholic hospitals. Think of other
Catholic hospitals.
No Catholic social schools, services.
Social services. Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services.
Right.
On and on and on. It's mind-boggling. And people think, well, the state takes care of all these things. They don't. Mm-hmm. And I know during the annual Catholic appeal, they come out with this list, and I'm sure you came out with it, 80, 90, 100 different organizations are benefiting from the annual Catholic appeal. But beyond you think, okay, hunger, visit people, the Matthew 25
right.
stuff, and you think of four or five things, and there's stuff for senior citizens, there's stuff for immigration, there's English language lessons, there's mm-hmm. on and on and on. In fact, I mean, I look at like Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, Sacramento Food Bank and Family mm-hmm. Services. There's always an and in there. And then all the Sacramento Food Bank, Sacramento Life Center, the Bishop Gagos Maternity Home, mm-hmm. the Mother Teresa Maternity Home, on and on and on. All those things would just be gone if the church had never existed.
Right.
Not that we're perfect, but boy, there's a lot of need that's being filled.
Yeah. That's why we're practicing Catholics. We're practicing.
We're getting better. That's right.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want when you finally see the good Lord, him to say, well done, mm-hmm. good and faithful servant. Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a struggle.
Yeah.
So what's the hardest part of your job?
I think to not get bogged down in kind of the struggles of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so kind of what you alluded to, sometimes, people can be very derogatory about the church our failings or things like that. And so to not let that affect my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And understand its place in even my own personal faith journey.
Sure. Sure.
Right. I mean, obviously in this job, you would have to have a very strong faith. Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
some may crack when they find out,
exactly.
certain things. Right.
Right.
But I think this journey has definitely made my faith life stronger.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I mean, you look at the sex abuse scandal and how horrific that was, and yet, my wife and I talk about this all the time. This is historically, there's no question in anybody's mind, the church that Jesus Christ founded. He founded the Catholic Church, and we've gone this way and that way, but. The truth survives
mm-hmm.
bad actions by human beings,
right?
And why would Jesus Christ found this church and then the real church is over here now? Mm-hmm. I don't think so,
right?
And it's with all due respect to all faiths. Anybody tells me right off they believe in God, okay, I'm with you. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm really with you,
right?
But even, the interfaith, that's important stuff.
And I think it's also, it's a daily orienting of myself towards the mission,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we joked about earlier, even as an adult, I still choose to be Catholic.
Right.
Right. And right. so it's every day that, yes, I still, this is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah,
this is exactly where God has placed me. He hasn't called me out to go back to tech.
Yeah, nobody's locking you in a room and saying you have to be Catholic.
Right.
To be Catholic. We
right.
get the Catholic Church emphasizes free will and conscience. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We have chosen to stay with it. And I'd have to say my faith is a lot stronger now mm-hmm. than partly because of being on the radio for 22 years in the Bishop's Hour, being surrounded by all these people and the guests that you bring on, and you go, wow, these people are really doing the Lord's work. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really good people. I'm hearing of ministries I didn't even know existed, mm-hmm. you know, and then the priests and the bishops, and it's mind-boggling, and it's really strengthened my faith. You know, and the church has had some tough couple of decades because, oh, yeah. you know, ever since all that news broke in Dallas. You know, and I go back to when the news broke out of Boston, mm-hmm. and Bishop Wiegand was the bishop at the time. He called me at home. He wasn't scheduled to be on the air that day. He called me at home and said, I want to be on the radio today. You know, I said, sure, you know, of course. And by golly, he came on and addressed it right then. You know, he wasn't going to crawl under the table or say, well, we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. No, he wanted to face it and wanted to make sure everybody knew. And you know, we weren't immune from our problems in Sacramento.
Right.
We had some and have paid dearly for it. And does that come up in your work? Where people say, I mean, you have to deal with it. If we do have a case, you're going to have to be the one to put out the press release or face the press.
Right. I mean, I sometimes say, like, what a time for me to come into being a director of communications
yes.
in the church,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Whether it's clergy abuse or whether it's coronavirus, you know, this is what a time to jump into that role and start to face the camera,
right.
you know, whereas before I could have just put out social media statements or things like exactly. that. But now it's like, oh, now you're the spokesperson.
Yeah.
And now you're representing, you know, Bishop on these matters in the press.
Exactly. You're right. Representing the bishop, you're representing the diocese, you're representing the Catholic Church.
Right.
And you're dealing with a secular press.
Right.
You're not just dealing with the Catholic press.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with a secular press, some of which can be hostile.
Sure.
In some cases, maybe deservedly so, you know. But I've been a member of the secular press ever since I got out of college, and I know how hard it is for communications directors, no matter who they're working for, when we start chipping away and we don't believe a word you're saying and you know that kind of stuff that can be real difficult. When you deal with the secular press
mm-hmm.
what are the hardest questions they ask you? Do you sense an anti-Catholicism or do you sense they're just...
I've been very fortunate in my time so far to have not had to deal with the anti-Catholicism
uh-huh.
That you're alluding to. So far, the press has been very fair.
Mm-hmm.
At least our local press has been very fair. At least that, you know, that I deal with in helping us to tell our story.
Right.
You know, haven't had any kind of gotcha journalism or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and during the pandemic, you know, obviously we've gone out there and talked about how we're reopening and things like that, and they've just been very open and willing to give us that space.
Right.
Ask us how we're doing it, how we're doing it safely, things like that. And I haven't sensed an anti-Catholicism in that.
No, that's good. So. Yeah, you know, and there have been on a number of occasions where I've opened the bee and there's an op-ed by the bishop,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, explaining our position on something or urging a better world in some way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're opening the churches back up.
We are. Bishop is lifting the dispensation on... Sunday, June 20, so Father's Day.
Right.
Yeah. So we're coming back 100%.
And, when I read his statement, it was like at 100%. It wasn't 90 or 80 or,
right, or 75
three quarters.
Or 50 or whatever we've been used to in the last year.
Exactly.
We're back. And I mean, what a joy that is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think of where we were last March 2020 to now, how you know, how long of a Lent that has been of sorts, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, there were times early on, it was kind of a lark. We weren't even wearing masks early on. Mm. And then we started wearing masks, and then it got real serious. And then the numbers just skyrocketed. And California, especially Southern California, were really bad in Los Angeles. And you're just like, oh man, we're never going to be out of this thing. And then all of a sudden, I think it was a combination of people taking it real seriously, and then we got the vaccinations and the masks. I think really, I don't think there's any question they have helped. And even the people who are not vaccinated for whatever reason have benefited from other people being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, they, who knows about herd immunity? They say 70%, maybe 80%, or who knows? You can still be bad luck and two people have it and they spread it to somebody else if they're all unvaccinated. But I thought it was really good of the bishops, both at the national level and the local level and at the international level, to really study the vaccination issue, mm-hmm. not just say, do it. But really address the concerns that some people had, right. and explain Catholic teaching about this, and why that this is not only okay but it's encouraged.
Right.
You know,
for love of your neighbor.
Exactly. Yeah. Love your neighbor, public good,
right.
Et cetera. And you may have your reasons. You don't want to wear a mask or you don't want to do this, but you don't have the right to get somebody else sick.
Yeah.
You know,
I talked earlier about, you know, being that kind of long Lent and, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic and I'm reminded that we are an Easter people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so as long as that Lent has been, we're an Easter people and we've held hope for this day that we're able to come back.
Yeah. I know of my kids through all the distance learning, four teenagers, you know, all through all distance learning and all that. Every day I say, you know, God has not left the building. He's still here.
He's still here.
And if you look in the mirror and see yourself and you're breathing and your eyes work and your tongue works, there's a reason you're here. God picked you to be here now, you know? So there's no chin on your chest moping around and saying, oh, why? You know, because it's with online, with distance learning, we found vast differences among our kids in how they responded. Some thrived, some just kind of didn't respond real well. I mean, they got by, but they didn't. I don't think they were doing much learning.
Yeah,
you know. And now that everybody's back in the saddle, it's like sunshine. You know, it's like,
oh yeah. I mean, my son started TK this year, and you know, so last summer he was telling all his friends at daycare, like, oh, I'm going to school, and then. School for like 3 weeks was like an iPad, right?
Yeah.
And so it was this big kind of like, oh, this is what I prepared myself for. And just seeing the big switch when, you know, kudos to our Catholic school department for getting our kids back in person, like being able to see how my son was for those 3 weeks in front of an iPad to how he is today, the benefit of being back in person. Oh my goodness.
Night and day.
Such a joy to see that transformation.
Yeah, and you know, I just think it's a stroke of brilliance that they've decided instead of having teachers, because they still have a fair number of kids in the distance learning for whatever reason, they're going to have the academy.
Right.
And
the online-only academy.
Yeah, that's right.
Blessed Sacrament, yeah.
Let everybody who wants to do that, those teachers will be dedicated to that, and the teachers who are in person will be dedicated to that, and they won't have to do the double duty through 36 elementary schools.
Right.
And that's fabulous. Do schools take up a lot of your energy?
Define energy. No, I mean, schools are such a valuable part of our mission. Right. So obviously I'm happy to lend my energies there as well.
Yeah. It's the Catholic schools in this area have such, not only they have such a good reputation, but they also have a good reputation for who they turn out. You know, I can't tell you how many times I see somebody that just got elected to something or somebody that just got appointed to something, you know, and it'll way back, it'll say Jesuit High School or Christian Brothers or the Cristo Rey or St. Francis. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Frequently people that aren't even Catholic,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But they talk about how important that part of their formation was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really, really good stuff. Well, we're lucky to have you back to 100%. I love that.
We're looking forward to having everyone back in the pews as well. I know, the last year and a half has been challenging. And so we're just looking forward to welcoming people back in full force.
That's great.
Obviously, we know a lot of people have been back for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's also be welcoming to the people who haven't.
Right. Yeah, kind of like Easter Sunday when people show up and you haven't seen them for a while. Be right. Welcoming. Don't say,
right. Hey, you're in my pew. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? I usually sit here. You didn't know that?
Yeah. Well, we haven't had reserved spaces for a year. So
yeah, that's right.
I think our pew assignments may have changed a little bit.
Changed, yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. And Bishop Soto emphasized that, if you feel vulnerable for whatever reason, mm-hmm. age, or you've got some medical condition or whatever, or you're taking care of somebody, and you don't yet feel comfortable going back to Mass, that this is not the...
You're still dispensed.
You're still dispensed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, if it's not one of those reasons of, vulnerable health condition, or you're caring for someone who's vulnerable, talk to your pastor.
Exactly.
Your pastor will give you counsel.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Good advice. Brian, thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Bob.
It's an important ministry.
Yep.
Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Their They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley & Associates.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lori, for that and for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're joined by John Watkins, the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. John, good to see you without a mask, in person.
Yeah, it's so great to be here, Bob.
Bishop
it really is.
Soto has announced that it's okay to do a radio interview without a mask. We have a special dispensation.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's what I was waiting for. It was like right after the mass opening up, and then it was the radio.
Yeah,
and it was right afterwards.
Right. Right underneath.
We had
Bishop on yesterday, and first time I in person, and he's a regular in like 15 months. It was like it was yesterday. You know,
yeah.
It was like, has it really been that long?
Yeah. Well, I miss coming to this closet over here.
Yeah,
it's great.
It is a closet, that's for sure.
It's a small room.
A broom closet.
Yeah.
I think it's the only room in the building without a window. I mean, an outside
where you can see outside.
And see that the breeze is blowing or is it raining?
It's the only offices that have windows to go looking into another building or another office.
Another office. Here we have the bulletproof glass between me and the producer, and
he throws stuff at us, but we're okay. Don't worry about us.
Yeah. So it's funny because Gabe, our producer, who is a gift from God, by the way, he will give me hand signals, and after 22 years, I still don't know what they mean. You know, and sometimes they're really dramatic hand signals. You know, what's he talking about?
Land the plane.
Yeah.
Land the plane. What are we talking about? Yeah.
But the guest can see the reflection in the glass behind me, and I can't. The guest wonders, what's going on?
Yeah. So I'm saying something. Maybe I should wrap it up.
Gabe's giving the cut him off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, it's a broad title. And, you know, it's like Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. It seems like all of our Catholic organizations have an end to them.
You know, that's true.
Involves a lot more.
That's true. We are a both and faith.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's because we're Eucharistic, and so we are both spirit and body. And so what we do, on the one hand, we want to care for the person in front of us, but we also want to care about stopping the systems and the structures that are impacting that person in front of us if we can. And we want to, at the same time, get our brothers and sisters involved. We want to transform the heart. So there's many parts of what we do. It's not, we're not like a secular social action group or a secular social service agency. We do it with what they call integral human development, that we care about the whole persons that we serve.
Yeah, and, you know, in this seemingly divided world, divided country, it must be difficult at times because it's like you're either for this or against this, or either for this or against this, and we don't fit into any neat little pigeonhole.
No.
As a Catholic Church, like you say, we care about the people. We care about Matthew 25. We care about the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's really interesting to me that and we don't do politics here, but we sure do issues. And you look at people on, say, both sides of the Great Divide, Christians on both sides, and nobody can find fault with what Jesus said. Nobody. I've never even heard an atheist attack the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I've heard him attack the teachings of the Catholic Church and the teachings of course, the Catholic Church is teaching the teachings of Jesus Christ, but they see it differently. But everybody loves Jesus.
Hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because everything he said is...
Is reality
years ago is reality
is true, but and keep it in mind at the time, not too many people did, because he was speaking about in the context,
right.
And so it did have a meaning. It wasn't, and so sometimes we can speak in universal terms.
Right.
Oh, love our brothers, have mercy, all these things, and we all agree.
Right.
But then when we say have mercy on the unborn,
right. Yeah. Yeah,
love becomes, the unborn. Then exactly. It becomes political.
Right.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? That's a fetus. It's not a person.
It's not a person.
Oh, wait a minute. So now we have a political conversation.
And you're anti-woman if you do if
right.
you say that.
Well, then I don't have mercy for them.
Exactly.
And it's obviously that's not the case at all.
Right.
And we certainly in Catholic Charities, we very much are concerned about mothers and children and families.
That's
the anchor of our work. And we suffer with that. We suffer with the fact that many of them don't have the resources to make ends meet. And as much as we serve them, we give them food, we help with housing and other social services, we also know that we don't have everything. And
right.
that there is still want. So, you know, we're not Pollyannish about it. We know that there's real suffering. But we also know that human life matters.
Right.
And that the unborn child, their lives matter. They matter to God, and they matter to all of us because we're all interconnected. Yeah. And so we have to do, you know, that's what we have to do. I really, it's funny because when I was a young person, this would probably be the last job that I think I was always one of those people that really tried to get along with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. My mom, who's, you know, not a person of faith, she said, you know, you used to be a lot nicer, you know, and I swear, Bob, I'm still pretty nice, but our faith calls us sometimes to take a position, that can appear very harsh on the one side, but it is grounded, always has to be grounded in mercy and in love.
Right.
And that can sometimes put us in opposition to something else and someone else.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that I'm opposed to that person, but I am opposed to the actions or the work that
right.
is happening if it's going to affect a vulnerable person.
And that seems to be where we are now, as the divide appears to get greater, mm-hmm. is like, well, if I'm on this side, it hurts mm-hmm. this person, or if I'm on that side, it hurts that person, or seemingly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that don't believe in feeding the hungry, you know, or taking care of the homeless, or, you know, or saving the life of a baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, or saving the life of an elderly person.
Sure. Sure. I mean, once you make it gets to be more confusing if the value of life is conditional.
Right.
It actually makes life very simple if we take God's perspective that all value
right.
unconditionally has this unconditional value that sort of is universal,
right.
whether you're old, young. Whether you're a good person or a bad person,
right.
The value of that human being's life doesn't change. It's always
right.
maintains its universal value because they're a human being, and because the value doesn't come from all their activities. The value comes because God has the value in them,
right.
that they are beloved by God,
right.
even if sometimes, you know, we don't know. And I say we now because— all of us are sinners.
Yep.
You know, we all, as Catholics, hopefully we're trying to be, saints, but at the same time, we have to admit that we're not always saints. And so we share that humanity with our brothers and sisters, which means that is sometimes, even though we mess up, wow, we're children of God. How awesome is that? So I think we have good news to always to share. And as Catholics, we, there is suffering involved and there's real consequences in life. And so, yes, sometimes if life is valuable and you have to keep the life, there may be some suffering by carrying that baby all the way and making it all the way through. The trick isn't just to get rid of that human being to make the life a little bit easier. It's actually to wrap around that person, to make sure that that mother, that family has what they need to get through.
The journey with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we all need, if we can just, again, get on a universal principle, if we just hold that universal principle, life is easy.
Yeah.
Just help them. Help those moms to be good moms. Help them to have be able to get a job, to help their kids to find a good education, so on and so forth. And that's where we're going. That's the promised land we're trying to get to, and the message that we're trying to give. It's a kind of a simple one. We know that there's a reality. We know that we're in the minority of voices, but we have to hold that ground. We have to be loud. I don't know. I'm not sure what to call myself. I'm passionate, moderate. I don't know what I am. I'm just trying to follow Christ. But you have to be vocal and say, I strongly have this position in a respectful way, but recognize that, the majority of ideological positions are going to, I'm not fitting those molds.
Yep.
Just the way it is.
I can remember years ago, I had a nightly talk show at KFBK and 9 to midnight, I would tell my family, if I give the weather and the time more than 3 times in 10 minutes, I'm in trouble. There's no callers. Okay. And I remember one night we were talking about capital punishment. I think maybe there was an execution scheduled or something, or maybe it had just taken place. And so we're talking about capital punishment, and I was explaining my position. It wasn't a religious show at all, a completely secular show, although we did have Monsignor Murphy on, and we had Bishop Quinn on a few times.
Yeah.
When Bishop Quinn was on, man, the phones would light up just before he was even on. It's just you said, Bishop Quinn will be our guest.
That's great.
Yeah, everybody loved him. And but so we're talking about the death penalty, and this guy calls up. That was a call. It was a caller show. And he says, well, if you're against the death penalty, how come you're in favor of abortion? And I said, when, with all due respect, sir, when have you ever heard me endorse abortion in any way, shape, or form? He said, you are. I know you are. You're one of those liberals from Davis. And I said, you call me whatever you want, but I strongly... I don't even like to say I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life, but you feel like you're patting yourself on the back.
Right.
I'm strongly against abortion. I think it's the wrong answer. It takes a human life, et cetera. And he just wouldn't buy it. I finally said, well, he said, everybody who's against the death penalty is in favor of abortion. And I said, well, no. Have you heard of Cardinal Bernardine?
Well, have you heard of Pope? It probably would have been Pope John Paul II then.
John Paul II.
Have you heard of Pope John Paul II? Yeah, no, it's...
John Paul II was... It's right in the catechism. It doesn't say, but where he says...
Yeah, well, he was the first strongest position on that.
On the death penalty.
Yes, saying that in the first world, there really isn't a justification, a moral justification for the death penalty because...
it's practically non-existent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I had a similar experience. I was working in a social service agency, not to be named, and a really great fellow colleague. And we were, I had the first Walk for Life, and I had a feeling, that I was going to see with some of my colleagues. So I was prepared about it. So sure enough, the first turn, I see my friend, who's a very gentle, good person. and turn the corner, and he's giving me, you know, the number one sign, but you know what I'm talking about, not the good one. And everyone sees, and I see him, I say, Joel, and I give him a big hug. And, you know, we talk for a little while, and then we go. And I had a great conversation with him afterwards, and he had said he went back, and his friends are like, who did you talk to? And he really had a hard time trying to explain that I was a good person, that I, you know, and they had this preset idea. And it was fascinating, too, because if you had been at that first Walk for Life, they were spitting on us. They were spitting on priests. It was really hostile. What was interesting was that he said, boy, you guys were really harsh. It really took, you know, because all we were doing, we were told, just pray the rosary. Right, and it was almost like it was a talk about projection. And he's a very smart, thoughtful person. But I think that's all of us. And, you know, if it happened to him, and he is a very thoughtful, good person, I have to imagine it happens to all of us. The only thing that I would say to anybody is not to listen to me, is to always be focused on Jesus and listen to the church, and don't, and even if you disagree perhaps or not sure you agree with the church, always start with the premise, well, you know, even though I don't, let me try to see if I can understand where the church is coming from, because in my life I've learned, you know, the church, after a couple thousand years of reflection and very smart people and very holy people, much holier than me, they've come to an understanding of the human person and to life. And their perspectives of what I've come to learn is right on. And if you go in with a sense of humility, even of your own positions, and just really put your anchor on God, you can't go wrong. You can't. Go in with a little bit of humility and always recognizing that regardless of the argument that you have, that the person in front of you is more important to God. To God, that person that is right in front of you, the only person that you're the most connected to right then, is important and beloved. So make sure that you're talking to that human being and caring that, you know, showing that love. Because you may disagree, and hopefully that person, if nothing else, should know, especially if you're trying to speak on behalf of the Catholic Church, they should know that, well, I don't know if I agreed, but boy, Bob, he did seem like a good guy. Mm-hmm. He did seem to like me. He did seem to care. He wasn't. So that's what we as Catholics are really, I don't charge to do, as we go out and proclaim that we do it with humility.
Right.
We do it with boldness. But we do it most importantly with love, and it's because it's out of love.
Yeah.
And if it's for any other reason, just check ourselves at the door and say, wait a minute, I'm not here for the right reason.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus was bold, but he wasn't hostile.
No.
He wasn't, I guess you could say he condemned certain acts.
Oh, absolutely.
But he wasn't condemnatory of the person. You know, like we're all made in the image and likeness of God, which is enough for me. You know, I need to constantly remind myself of that when somebody cuts me off in traffic, or it's when somebody does something that irritates you and they keep doing it.
Yeah,
you know, like how many times? Seven? Was it 70 times seven? I got
70 times seven.
Okay, you're at 491 now, George.
Yeah,
I don't have to forgive you anymore.
Yeah. Wow. I agree with you. That's not easy. That's the hard part of the work. Is I always say to colleagues, whether they be on the Catholic charity side or the social concern side, I always kind of joke around and say, well, this job would be really easy if there wasn't so many people involved in it.
Yeah.
It's human beings. We are complicated. That is the anchor. That is the most important part. In the midst of proclaiming the good news, we're proclaiming it to who? To people, human beings that are broken. And so we have to find ways to meet them and speak to them.
Yeah, we're not supposed to proclaim it to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Good for us. Hey,
woo, we're on the good team.
Lock that door to the church. Exactly. And let's all praise each other.
Yeah. So, but I also acknowledge that it's difficult. It's frustrating. and sometimes even dispiriting. But I think that is the beauty of our faith, that it doesn't promise that every day is going to be filled with daisies. Right. There's going to be some suffering and challenges, but God will always give us the strength to do what we need to do. And that is the, if you will, the breathing of the faith is come to faith, we come to Mass, the priest welcomes us, and what is he, the first thing he does is we say, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, because we probably weren't so good. Then we're fed with the word, we receive the body, and then we're sent. And then we're to be the body of Christ. We're to be
in the world,
in the sacrament, in the world. And then what happens? We come back, and then we have to ask for forgiveness. And then that's the breathing of the faith.
Right.
That it's never ending cycle of we'll have just enough food, just enough grace to do the work that God has in front of us. And sometimes all of the work that He has out there is good. It's important. Get on the radio. You're playing. This is important work that you're doing on the airwaves using this technology to talk about God. Yeah, that's
what a privilege.
Awesome. I'll and I'm you. Lucky to be here.
I'm the one that's
with Saint Bob.
I don't think this we is, have a Saint Bob.
No,
we
not yet.
Saint Roberts. But yeah,
oh,
yet.
Saint Roberts. That's true. But Saint Bob Dunning. There's something of Sacramento. I like it.
I like it. Well. Hopefully, you know, yeah. But you know, but Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Mm. And you go, I don't think so. You're asking me to do hard things, you know,
yeah.
But we've never really tried it. We've never done 100%. We've never just completely given everything away and said, okay, you know, take the shirt off and here I am, Jesus. And he promises it's...
No, he's right, though. I mean, the problem is it's us.
Yeah.
So there are two versions of John Watkins. John Watkins that sees the work, the ministry, as his ministry, mm-hmm. and that it's his responsibility to do everything. And I tell you, John Watkins that does that for a few months, a year, when he is very tired and mm-hmm. dejected and dispirited. But when we realize that actually God is doing the 99% and we're just doing a small thing.
Yeah.
If we see ourselves, and that starts with the humility part, right. that we're just doing the little thing, that I'm not the great orator that's making the argument against this bill or that bill, but I'm just a person that can be used by God to do something, to change this bill or that, and that's to do it, and then be fine. Just I did it. It's in God's hands now, and that's really liberating. So in my work journey, when I've gotten to that point in my life where I realize it is very, it's my doing this work now is so much easier than when I first started, because I thought I was so important back then. Yeah. Now I know much better. I think we both do. Yeah. We both know that the reality is we're just blessed to be called to do this for the moment, and somebody else smarter than us is going to take our shoes, hopefully, and keep this mission going. But for now, we get to do it, and we're just blessed. Just accept
blessed.
It as a blessing.
Yeah, I remember that. I think it was the first year we were on the air, and Bishop Wiegand was here, and the Episcopal Bishop for Northern California was here,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if the Lutherans have bishops, but it was somebody high up there,
mm-hmm.
I think they do, and there were three or four of them, and I remember saying, if anybody had told God that I was going to be sitting here moderating all these holy men, you know, it was like, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling. You're in, theologically, you're in way over your head.
Of course.
You know, and that's why, you know, I think we owe our clergy and our bishops and the Pope this deference, like you say, do we, maybe they say, they come up with something, and we say, I'm sort of agree with it, but I don't buy all of it. we owe them the deference, like you say, to look at it with humility and say, these guys are a lot smarter than we are. They've dedicated their lives to this. Mm-hmm. And they've dedicated their lives. They're not trying to lead us astray for some reason. Yeah. I mean, it's like, this is something they've really studied that I'm just like, oh, that's nonsense. You know,
right.
It's like first glance. No.
If
they said this, there's a good reason. And I owe them the deference to really study their position and why.
Absolutely.
You know.
And it goes back to what you were talking about. Or my yoke is easy. You know, there's a great line, and it's often the avoided scripture of weddings, Ephesians 5, submit to one another in reverence to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where, you know, the men, you know, the husbands are the head of the household. Oh, God, we better not say that one. Yeah. But it's actually a very profound scripture, and it's misunderstood, because actually the husbands and wives are to submit to one another in reverence to Christ.
That's
So it's impossible for me to submit to, or it's impossible anyways for my wife to submit to me, because, hey, my husband is wrong, but in reverence to Christ, right? And in the same way, why do we submit to the church? And how do we submit to the church? It's in reverence to Christ.
Right.
And when we do that, our yoke is easy. Put our trust into Christ. If Christ told us to follow the church, then we follow the church.
Yeah.
Why? Not because the church is always the smartest in the world, but because Jesus told us, and we should trust Jesus, and so be it. I'm not going to go far off onto the hinterlands by following the church.
No.
And so it's, you know, granted, you know, God made me I can think for myself, and sometimes I might even be able to help the bishops come up with a slightly better.
Yeah.
But fundamentally speaking, the church is absolutely right on, and I'll say the world is the one that's been going haywire. And thank God that for the grace of God that I'm in this church, I also thank God God. I have this wonderful relationship with God, and the church helps me to be grounded.
Yep.
Because otherwise, left to my own thinking.
Oh.
You know.
My wife said that so many times. Says, why? Imagine if we didn't have a belief in God.
Yeah.
Just imagine if we just thought there was no God. It'd be the problems would be impossible.
It would be, well, talk about heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're alone.
Yep.
And it is heavy.
Yep.
And there is a lot of people like that. And that's, and a lot of times there's people and they're physically overwhelmed because they don't have a house. And, but there's also this spiritual part of being alone and that, maybe there isn't, and so we have to do both. It's bringing that food and the comfort, as a messenger of God.
Right.
Not that we're like, okay, now it's time for rosary.
Right,
you
know, right.
I've given you your food. Now you better get down on your knees. It's our intention that comes through that. And that the social service becomes the vehicle for God's love.
Right.
And that's the way we do whatever ministry, whether we be singing as our ministry or faith formation, that these are just simply the vehicles of God so that he can sort of incarnate in the world. And for you, it's this radio program.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that awesome?
It's like I say that to Shelley, my wife, every day. I say, I just can't wait to go in there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want a day off, you know,
I
can't wait to go in there.
Yeah.
It's speaking of which.
Yes.
We've got a Catholic Charities event coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yolo Solano.
Yes, Catholic Charities Yolo
Solano. Did you fight whether it was going to be Solano Yolo or Yolo Solano?
I'm surprised, but Yolo Solano, doesn't it sound
a
good?
Ring to it.
It rings to it. So,
a lot of vowels in there, Vanna.
Yeah. So, you know, and ironically, too, because really Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, most of the social services have been located in the Solano County.
Right.
But about 5 years ago, Bishop Soto said, you know, there is really a gap. And like all bishops, bishops are not responsible for part of the diocese. Yep. It's for every inch of the earth, there needs to be in their
Catholic
diocese.
Catholic or not Catholic. Yeah, Catholic everybody.
Need to be served, need to be cared for. So Bishop asked us, our agency, to expand into Yolo County. So so we've been involved in that work, and it's been really exciting. Catholic Charities Yolo Solano was one of the smaller of our Catholic Charities mm-hmm. agencies. I think every one of your listeners is probably familiar with Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. And for those up in the north are very familiar with Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. These are very large organizations, but the Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano was really, for many, 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 many years, was really a satellite of the Catholic Charities of Sacramento.
Sacramento, yeah.
And in the last, five or 10 years, and I think it was really, the wisdom of the bishop to separate the organization, set it up as a separate organization so that the community could be engaged, that it would represent those communities of Yolo County and Solano County. So this is exciting. The agency has really had to, in the last number of years, really expand for the needs. Just last year, we've gone from a very small, 10 organization to a less small 30 staff organization. So we've really had to expand. We had the fires at Yolo and Solano County and the LNU fires. We had folks that were going to lose their rent. And so they had to help 1,400 households last year. Wow. This year, they're expected to help 8,000 households.
Wow.
And so the need expands. And so this is just a little fundraiser. It's one of those
June 19th,
the day before Father's Day. It's 1 hour, and it's a lot of fun.
Juneteenth.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's in the evening. And what I would, I guess, invite your listeners is to go to the Catholic Charities of Yolo website, which if I could say the website, it's www.ccyoso.org.
Catholic Charities,
Yolo,
Solano, Yoso. And it's June 19th, and it's virtual.
That's right.
It'd be a wonderful auction.
Yes, please come, and please support this agency. They're doing God's work. And you, the listener, whether you be in Yolo or Solano County, can be supporting that and supporting the mission and supporting our brothers and sisters in need.
Very good. John, thanks for all you do. Aren't we both blessed?
We are.
Indeed. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
We stand and lift our hands for the joy.